women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That says a lot for you. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Who makes the kingdom of God suffer violence? I'm going to tell you who it is. It's the lost. It's the unregenerate. It's the ungodly. And we live in an extremely ungodly society. Amen? All right, and so keep going. I'll get you down there in a minute. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. All of them prophesied Jesus is coming until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears, let him hear. All right, so I'm gonna skip down real fast to verse, where are we at now, 15? Let's just go ahead and read him. It's okay. This may be the most reading you get all month. Amen. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. Now listen really close to this, because this is our key verse. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber. Are those true? No. As a matter of fact, if you brought your child before the elders in the Old Testament and you told them that they were a glutton and a drunkard, they'd say, stone them. So they bring up these accusations, and they bring up an accusation against John, and they say, he has a devil. They bring an accusation against Jesus, and they say, behold, he's a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Now, all the things, all the accusations that they bring against John and Jesus, we say no to, except for the one, a friend of sinners. This is an accusation that the Pharisees were bringing against Jesus. Notice what he says. But wisdom is justified of her children. All right? So, I don't want you to raise your hand, but if I was to say Jesus was not a friend of sinners, how many people would have a problem with that? Would you have a problem with that? You'd say, he is, though. He's a friend of sinners. He's a friend of sinners. And this verse kind of just puts it in there, and that's where you hear it from. What we fail to remember is Jesus called Matthew, and he went into his house because Matthew was a tax collector. He was calling a disciple. And when he went into his house, some other tax collectors and sinners came in as well. Now, Jesus said, all that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. But watch this. Watch these next verses. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Dave. Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. He's saying, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Now you tell me how friendly this sounds to the unrepented. Does that sound friendly at all? Come on, somebody talk to me. Does he sound friendly at all? As a matter of fact, right after he says, listen, here's what's going to happen. And we got to get this mentality out of our head that Jesus is buddies with the sinners, because he's not. As a matter of fact, as I'm praying this week, he lays it on my heart to the book of Romans, and he said, sinners are my enemy. I made it very clear in my scripture that sinners are my enemy. For when we were enemies to God, we were enemies. We were not his friend when we were lost. He was not our friend. As a matter of fact, there was an enmity between us and him. And we got the world thinking that Jesus is their buddy. This Jesus is the very Jesus that's going to destroy them if we don't start preaching repentance the way the Bible preaches repentance. You know what? Man, I feel God. You know why we've lost our burden for the lost? Because we think Jesus is hanging out with them and winking at them. And the whole time, he's getting ready to pour out his wrath on sinners. He's not their friend. He's not their buddy. He was not my buddy, Eddie, when I was lost. Well, I was at war with God. I was an enemy of God. Can I take you there? Romans chapter 1. I got to get you there because this is so important. You know why we don't fast for the sinner? Because we think Jesus is their buddy. You know why? Because the world keeps saying it. And we keep seeing it. Jesus. Now, is Jesus friendly to sinners? Oh, yeah. Does he want to be friends with them? Yes. The problem is, as long as they are in sin, he said, if you're my friend, we're going to communicate. Right? How many people talk to your friends? Sorry, I missed your phone call, friend. I know she called me. I'm sorry, I missed your phone call, friend. But, man, we talk, right? I consider you my friend. We talk, right? I consider you my friend. Do we talk sometimes? I consider you my friend. We talk sometimes? I consider you my friend. We're friends. We communicate. Jesus said, if you regard iniquity in your heart, I won't hear you. So how can they be friends when he can't communicate with them? How is he going to look at them and say, depart from me, I never knew you, when we're trying to convince them that he's friends with them? You say, oh, you're hung up on it. No, I'm not hung up on this, because it's the spirit of our age that Jesus is just okay with everything. I'm here to preach to you tonight. He's not okay with everything. And God's got a protocol, and God's got a way that you have to approach him. And it's not just haphazardly any old way. When you come to God, you got to come through the blood, and you got to get holy. So, man, I'm still struggling, preacher. I still think he's the friend of sinners. He's not. He's not. Man, right after that verse, he says, it's going to be better for them than it is you, because I did mighty works among you. You know what he did? He came to this world, Sister Mona, and he did mighty works. And if they weren't willing to repent, he don't play with the unrepentant. As a matter of fact, read the book of Revelation. He said, I got some odd against you. I got somewhat against you. And he would say, unless you repent, I'm going to come and take your candlestick. I'm going to come and take the light. There are consequences to unrepentance. Let me give you an end time message. Let me give you an end day message. What we need to preach right now is repent. Turn to God. Turn to God. Turn to God. Turn to God like you've never turned to God before, because I'm here to tell you, he's not your homeboy. He's not your buddy. He's not your pal. He's God, and he's calling people to be... Watch this. Romans chapter 5. Sorry, what did I tell you? Romans 1? Give me Romans 5. Paul's servant. Are you there? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith in his grace, where we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing tribulation worth patience, patience experience, experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Right? Watch this. Watch this. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the ungodly. This is grace like nobody else can bestow. No greater love hath a man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Watch this. Next verse. For scarcely, For a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. You know, if the guy's righteous, there's some people that'll die for him. Even a good man, there's some that would die for him. But watch this verse. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what? Go ahead and clap your hands, because he died for you. Amen. You ought to worship him because he died for you. Not when you got good enough, but when you were lost, he died for you. Next verse. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from what? From wrath through him. We are saved from wrath through him. Doug, you know what concerns me and makes me nervous? We're so careful not to offend the sinner. But let me tell you what Jesus said. They better not offend you. Am I telling you what Jesus said? He said, if you offend one of my little ones, he said, it would be better for a millstone to be tied around your neck and you cast into the sea. That's what your Bible says. By the way, if you tie a millstone around your neck and get thrown into the sea, you will drown. So let me tell you what Jesus was saying. You would rather be dead than to offend one of my little ones. We're worried about offending the world. The world ought to be worried about offending us, because this Jesus that I'm preaching to will break them. Much more, being now justified by his blood. Next verse. We are saved from wrath. Whose wrath? His wrath. For if when we were... Jesus is your friend. Jesus is a friend of sinners. No, he is not. Because when you're lost, you know what you are? You are an enemy of God. I can't be his enemy and be his friend at the same time. Now, there is a way that I can be friends with him. How is that? Through repentance. Because he looks at him and says, it's coming. Judgment's coming. And he said, it's going to be bad for you. He said, I did such mighty works. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Why are you preaching this to us, preacher? This is Wednesday night. We're the dedicated people. Why are you telling us this on Wednesday night? You know what they say? You go to church on Sunday morning, you love your church. You go on Sunday night, you love your pastor. You go on Wednesday, you love Jesus. So you're sitting here looking at me and you're like, why are you hammering on us? I'm going to tell you why. Because we got to get this mentality. We don't have much time. And if we're going to pray and have a revival that saves lost souls, we need to get a burden right now. Understanding this, judgment really is coming. I'm not a prophet. I just read the book. And he says when it comes, God's wrath will get full, and one day he's going to pour out his wrath. Amen. For our newer folks, I want to preach this to you for a minute. Some of my favorite things in Scripture. Judgment's coming. And he's not going to pour it out like he did in the days of Noah. He flooded the earth. He's not going to do that again. Peter tells us, he says, the world that's now, it's reserved unto judgment by fire. God's going to pour out his judgment like fire. And it's coming. It's coming upon the earth. It's coming upon the ungodly. He's going to, let me just keep going here. Watch this. For if we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We were enemies. We are not enemies. This is Wednesday night crowd. I'm going to preach to you now. We are not enemies now. He said, I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends. We are friends of God. Why are we friends of God? Because we've been washed in his blood, his death, made access by faith, and now we have relationship. The problem is we got a lost world out there that's playing around and everybody's okay with Jesus. And I got a problem with that because the church has let down and we're not telling them really what's going to happen. And we're sugarcoating it and we're making it to where everybody's okay. And Jesus says, it'll be worse. He said, it's going to be bad for you, Tyree. It's going to be bad for you, Sidon. It's coming. If you got lost children, you better start praying. You got a lost spouse, you need to start praying. Preach it. Watch this. Next verse. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Who is that? That's us. We have received the atonement. That's us. We are the atoned for. That's us. So what do? We joy in God. We joy in God. We should worship God because we have received the atonement. Keep going. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We've all sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. I don't have time to dwell there. I got to keep going. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. You may, listen, offend me, don't offend him. Don't worry about the one who can destroy the body. Be concerned about the one that can destroy the body and the soul. It's offensive. The sinful life is offensive to God. But the free gift, for if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. The gift is available to them all. Tanner, what makes me nervous is we're okay and we're fine with what's going on as long as it's just, oh man, we really need to wake up and have a revival where the Spirit begins to draw people to the altar again. We need to have a revival where, oh, oh man, what's wrong with the revival of holiness and purity and dedication and consecration where we set ourselves apart and say, God, this world has nothing for me. It's got nothing for me. I got to get closer. I got to get closer. I got to get closer. Josh, I'm at work and I'm reading these scriptures and I'm praying. Man, I felt just a burden come over me like I haven't felt in a long time. I don't want people to come to church and just have a nice, neat little hour to hour and a half service and we walk out the same way we walked in. He said, the proof will be in the results. He said, the proof will be in the results. He goes in and sits down with Matthew. Here comes the, you know what amazes me? Jesus is a friend of sinners. He's a friend of Pharisees too. Does that make him religious? You know who else's house he ate at? Pharisees' house. Do you think he was friendly to Pharisees? Come on, read your scripture. Read your scripture. He was always wearing those guys out because they walked in their religious attitude and they're holier than thou this and we're better than you that. We got to get that idea out of our head because I promise you this, you ain't no better than anybody. The only thing that separates you from anybody is the blood of Jesus.
And you know what? That ought to give us a hallelujah. That ought to give us a hallelujah. Because it's not by me. It's by him. His grace, his mercy, his love. And I'm so glad that one day I became his friend. I was his enemy. But we sat down and we reasoned together. And he washed me in his blood. And he filled me with his spirit. And now I'm not his enemy anymore. I'm his friend. And I'm on my way to heaven by the blood of Jesus. Can you shout and say amen?
Amen. Oh, man, this don't feel like Wednesday. His love's abounded unto many. Now, how much time I got? Romans chapter 1. Let me take you there. Let me get you to the right scriptures. Listen, I asked you if you had a testimony and nobody stood up, so now you get to hear it. We have a problem. The problem is, and we talked about it in Sunday school, I don't want to misrepresent who Jesus is. You know what we want? We want a middle class American Jesus. That's what we want. We want him to fit in our lifestyle. And bless our country. What about all the other countries? God bless America. America is a mess. Man, it's an absolute train wreck. Hey, just give you some more prophetic news. We are bankrupt. We are living on borrowed time. Sooner or later, the creditors are going to come. I've already flew balloons over to check out. Never mind. Leave it alone, Damon. Just leave it alone. No, let's just be ignorant about it and walk around not knowing what's going on. I'm telling you, we're in a mess. Well, don't worry, preacher. Mr. Trump's going to get back in there and save it. No, he ain't. He ain't going to save us all. My Savior ain't Trump. My Savior's Jesus. And these people that act like something, man. I wish I had my stats today. I seen this thing. It was so cool. It was so interesting. It said, which one is more vile, the NFL or the NBA? And it started rattling off all these statistics. 36 of them were accused of spousal abuse. So many of them wrote bad checks. So many of them done this. And there were so many horrible things that went on. And at the end of it, it said, oh, yeah, by the way, this ain't the NFL or the NBA. This is Congress. I need to find that for you. If you stuck an honest person in Washington, they couldn't fix that mess. The answer's not in the White House. It's in the church house. Amen. Where are we at, Taylor? Did I even tell you where we're at? Romans. Man, I'm in Romans 11. Hold on. I'm Romans 1 and 1. Let me get here. Verse 18, listen to this, I'm going to let you go. I want you to go home and feel horrible. For the wrath of, stop, the wrath of God. We can't forget this. He's going to pour out his wrath like fire. Can I tell my story real fast? I read a story one time about these guys. They were out on a prairie, and they're riding along. And through this heat, there was spontaneous combustion. The prairie caught on fire. And they looked out, and this huge fire is coming at them. And the wind is blowing it right at them. And it's so huge, and it's catching up really fast. And one of them looks at the other and says, what are we going to do? He said, let's go around it. He said, we can't ride around it. He said, it's just moving too fast. He said, it's too wide. He said, let's go through it. He said, there's no way we're going to get through it. It's too hot. And they're arguing about how they're going to get away from this fire. Maybe we can outrun it. They said, we can't because the wind is blowing too hard. One of the guys get off his horse, and he kneels down, and he sets the prairie on fire at their feet. And the other two look at him and said, you idiot. What have you done? He said, don't worry. Hang in there. And that fire began to burn, and the wind began to blow. And that fire was on its way. And he just stood there.
and waited till it got closer. And this fire had already done its work. So he said, fire can't burn where fire has already been. So he said, all we have to do is step over in the ashes, what has already been done, and that fire can't harm us because we're standing where fire has already been. What's the point? Judgment is coming like fire. If I'm going to escape that fire, I must find a place where God's judgment has already been poured out. Well, I found a place. It's called Golgotha. It's called Calvary. He already poured out his judgment on his son. All I got to do is step over in the finished work of Jesus.
That's good. For the wrath of God is revealed in heaven against all what? Ungodliness and what? Unrighteousness. Nah, man, Jesus is your friend. If this is your friend, so what do you want to do, friend? I'm going to smoke you. I don't know that we're friends. We're not friends. I never said we were friends. The Pharisee said we were friends. I can't. What I said was I was your doctor. Is that not what he said? They came in and they said, what are you doing eating with publicans and sinners? He said, they that are whole don't need a physician. He never said he was their friend. He said he was their doctor. Let me tell you what a doctor does. A doctor heals you. So, keep going. All in God is righteous men who hold the truth in what? Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Who holds the truth in unrighteousness? Every unbeliever on this planet. You know why? Because God's revealed it to them. Listen to me very closely. God has revealed his grace to every person on this planet at one time or another. The grace of God hath appeared unto all men. Not a select few, not just a couple, not just Americans, everybody. You say, well, what about them people over there that don't never, that God speaks to them. How do you know? Because he said, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. God talks to them by his creation. He testifies of his greatness by his creation. How in the world do you think when we got here, the American Indians were running around saying there's a great spirit? Where did they get that revelation from? Where did they get the idea that there was one that was greater than all the other? I'm going to tell you where they got that. Creation testifies. So who holds the truth? Nobody is going to stand before Jesus with an excuse. Well, I didn't know. I talked to you. I told you. This is why it's so scary when people teach that God doesn't speak to people anymore. Y'all mad at me yet? Can I read another verse? All right, thanks. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them.
Who showed them?
God showed them. What he show them? Truth. How do you know? They're holding it in unrighteousness. All right, let's hurry. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. We just said that. Next verse. Because that when they glorified him, neither were, but became in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Listen who we're talking about. This is unbelievers. This is what, this, and such were some of you. Such were some of you. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. This does not sound very friendly. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds. You know what we're doing? You know what we're doing, Dustin? You know why everybody loves Jesus now? Because there's one that looks just and acts just like them. Your truth ain't my truth. Right? It's okay. Whatever you want to do, you do. And then whatever I want to do, I do. Here's the problem with that. There's only one type of Jesus that gets you into heaven, and that's the true Jesus. Go ahead. One more, maybe. Go ahead. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Do we need to read this or y'all know it? Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. That amen doesn't mean it's the end of it. Next verse. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women to change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of error, which was meat. You know what that means? I know we said that real fast. But do you know what that means? That means judgment's coming. And you know what you get in judgment? What you deserve. Here it is. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You know what scares me about this age we live in? There are so many people that are borderline reprobates. You know what we lost in the church? Conviction. Come on. You know what we hear all the time? Well, I don't see nothing wrong with this, and I don't see nothing wrong with that, and I don't see nothing wrong with this, and I don't see nothing wrong with that, and I don't see nothing wrong with this. And the problem is you don't see. If you're a Christian and you don't see something wrong with something, then there's a problem with your conviction. Good, Alice, clap. I heard you over there. Go ahead. There you go. If you don't see something wrong with something, because there's a God that's trying to draw you closer to Him. Am I right or am I right? Am I okay? All right, good. Get it, boy. These things which are not convenient. All right, come on, musicians. Verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, coveting, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God. Let me preach to you real quick. Quit talking about your brother and sister. Quit backbiting your pastor. Then you wonder why your kids won't come to church. You keep coming. You go home and talk junk about me. No, none of y'all. Right. Don't worry, I hear about it. You got people in your family that tell on you. Be sure your sins will find you out. It's okay, I still love you. Haters of God. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Listen, let me ask you a question. Do these sound like the people that Jesus is friends with? No, this was us. This was us. It's why in that messed up state that we were in, you know what He did? He sent somebody. You know what, Dustin? They had a problem no matter who was preaching. John's out there. He ain't eating. He ain't having no feast. He's out there in the middle of a wilderness running around eating locusts. They're like, he has a devil. Jesus over here at the table, he's having dinner. And they're like, don't like him either. But you know what's awesome about it? John led thousands to repentance. And Jesus brought salvation to the world. So I don't care what they think. So what are you going to do, preacher? We need to start praying. You know what you need to do? You need to get you a group of people. You need to get you a group of people. Listen to me. It's on my heart. Find your group of people. 4, 5. Get your group of people. Set aside a day that you all fast together. Set aside a time that you pray together. Why? I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. That's because you think Jesus is everybody's homeboy. You know what we need? We need revival. And this kind only comes by fasting and praying. One more verse, maybe. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. See, here's the problem, and I want to get this in your head. I'm going to let you go. Man, I feel like, have I been going a long time? I want to get this in your head. Some of y'all looking sleepy on me. Wake up. Hang in there just a few more seconds. We was in church one time, and some of y'all know this story. There was a guy, he shouted all over the place. Man, he worshiped. I mean, he was excited. It came time for preaching. He sat down in a pew, and he cuddled up and started going to sleep. I watched him over there, and I went by him while I was preaching, and I went, hang in there, buddy. It's almost over. Trey said, I cannot believe you did that. He woke up, though. He caught the rest of it. Here's what you got to understand. When you are witnessing to a sinner, I don't care what they say. Deep down, they know what you're saying is true. The only difference between you and them is you confess it and they suppress it. That's the only difference. It's the only difference. So what are we going to do? We need a burden for the lost. We need a burden for the lost. If you don't have a burden, pray that God gives you one. Amen. Find you some people. Somebody be a leader. Why don't somebody just be a leader? Quit sitting around waiting on everybody else to do everything. Step up. So you know what? I'm going to find me 4 people that I can bond with and pray with. 5 people. And this is going to be my people that I'm going to pray with. We're going to hold each other accountable. Because you know what you need? Accountability. Because if we ain't accountable to each other, who are we accountable to? Amen. Amen. I don't know how to end this sermon. I could say, come up here and let me pray for you, but I don't think you need prayer. Maybe we pray for ourselves right now. Or maybe we go ahead and start praying for the lost in our family. Come on, Doug. Come on, Doug. I know you stand in for them every week you're here. Let's go. Start there. You think he does this because just to do it? No. He's doing this because if you keep knocking. Oh, come on, somebody gonna help me pray. How many people believe that God really is greater than the spirit of alcoholism? How many people believe that the Spirit of God can move? How many people think it's worth praying about? Oh, thank you, Jesus, because you're my friend, Lord. God, when I was your enemy, you made me your friend. Thank you for the ambassador, Lord.